It sat there moveless and dead. And then the cabin lit up a brilliant flashbulb purple. The oversized steering wheel and the rearview mirror stood out with absolute dark clarity, like objects on the horizon during an artillery barrage. Ned gasped and put up a hand to shield his face. It flashed again and again, each silent detonation printing its leaping shadow across the cement floor and up the board wall, where a few tools still hung from the pegs. Now the humming was very clear. I directed my gaze toward the circular thermometer hanging from the beam which ran above the Buick's hood, and when the light bloomed again, I was able to read the temperature easily. 54 degrees Fahrenheit. Not great, but not terrible either. It was mostly when the temperature in Shed B dropped below 50 that you had to worry. 54 wasn't a bad number at all. Still, it was best to play it safe. We'd drawn a few conclusions about the Buick over the years, established a few rules, but we knew better than to trust any of them very far. Another of those bright, soundless flashes went off inside the Buick, and then there was nothing for almost a full minute. Ned never budged. I'm not sure he even breathed. "Is it over?" he asked at last. "Wait," I said. We gave it another 2 minutes, and when there was still nothing, I opened my mouth to say we might as well go back and sit down. The Buick had exhausted its supply of fireworks for tonight. Before I could speak, there was a final monstrous flash, a wavering tendril of light like a spark from some gigantic cyclotron shot outward and upward from the Buick's rear passenger window. It rose on a jagged diagonal to the back corner of the shed, where there was a high shelf loaded with old boxes, mostly filled with hardware oddments. These lit up a pallid, somehow eldritch yellow, as if the boxes were filled with lighted candles instead of orphan nuts, bolts, screws, and springs. The hum grew louder, rattling my teeth and actually seeming to vibrate along the bridge of my nose. And then it quit. So did the light. To our dazzled eyes, the interior of the shed now looked pitch black instead of just gloomy. The Buick was only a hulk with rounded corners and furtive gleams which marked the chrome facings around its headlights. Shirley let out her breath in a long sigh and stepped back from the window where she had been watching. She was trembling. Arky slipped an arm around her shoulders and gave her a comforting hug. Phil, who had taken the window to my right, said, "No matter how many times I see it, boss, I never get used to it." "What is it?" Ned asked. His awe seemed to have wound 10 or 12 years off his face and turned him into a child younger than his sister's. "Why does it happen?" "We don't know," I said. "Who else knows about it?" "Every trooper who's worked out of Troop D over the last 20+ years. Some of the motor pool guys know. The county road commissioner, I think." "Jameson?" Huddy said. "Yeah, he knows." "And the Statler Township Chief of Police, Sid Brownell. Beyond that, not many."